position. Why the large numbers of vacancies? A lot of these positions are seasonal. They're filled during the summer. So the traditional pattern of employment on the CIP budget is you get lower numbers of positions, a lower percentage of the positions filled in the dead of winter than you do in the high point of the construction season. July and August would be the big months as far as filling these positions. But most of these positions are still outside the budget. You don't know anything about them through the budget process.
Well, do the, I suspect it's so familiar to everybody else in the committee because it's something that's been faced every year. Apparently the House last time said, okay, let's recognize the state employees, and the Congress committee didn't. And I suppose one advantage of that is that you don't have to show a whole bunch of new employees all of a sudden.
Well,
but one, and this, it seems like a disadvantage might be that when you put together a bond for a project or decide on a capital appropriation for a project, that money goes either from the bond receipts or from the cash to the department. I wonder if they consider enough calculations for need, initial capital needs. Do they allow for these positions?
Can they calculate the cost of the project?
They do in their project.
We don't.
The problem is with legislative projects primarily, because a legislator is much more apt to be concerned in his cost estimating for a project with what the structure is going to cost. The legislator is apt to focus on what will it cost to actually build this, and not be aware on a first-hand basis with the planning that DOT goes through and the various steps that they go through to run it through the mechanism.
Is that part of why perhaps they decide to go half and half? Half interagency receipts, half...
No, actually, that was a budgetary technique to save general fund.
Technique.
We got down toward the end and we needed the money.
Creative account.
Mr. Mason?
Yeah, just some additional history that members of the committee might remember is that it was the House Finance Committee that, through their urgings for years, of Representative Howe, who's been aware of the problem for about 15 years, after about 12, finally pounded into some of our heads, that we wrote a letter requesting, and I think pointing out that the statute required that these positions be approved by the committee and that we have the power to do it, and asking them to show them in the budget. Of course, then they did, and the legislature didn't continue that same attitude. We decided not to show them in the budget, simply, or to sort of show them interagency receipts. The real problem is if all those positions were just totally related to the projects, and they only came on when the projects were there and were taken off, the worst thing that you could say is that they're making the decisions about when and who to employ, and we're not. But that isn't the worst problem. The worst problem is there are a lot of people that are employed out of CIP funds that have nothing to do with the projects to which they're charged. And so therefore, those costs are fixed. They are not variable depending upon the size of the capital budget. So that if they say they have $25 million.
Do they admit that, by the way?
Yeah.
They'll admit that some of those people on the CIP?
No, we've seen the computer runs. Well, there's division heads that are charged to CIP. For instance, at one time they had $25 million worth of CIP employees, 19 one-year contracts. Say $25 million. If they have $100 million worth of capital budget, then they're going to take 25% of it. But if you only appropriate $50 million, they're going to take 50% of it. And so what happened to Pappy Moss is he appropriated, what was it, a million, Pappy?
$1.3 million
for a school and ended up having $800,000 to build the school because they ripped out a higher percentage than you would normally expect. That's the real problem, is that you don't know what you're going to get when you appropriate capital projects, because they can take whatever percentage of it they have to make their total budget. In a big budget year like last year, it's not going to be a problem for them, but when you get those skimpy years, it's the same thing that happened with universities the last year, when they were trying to use bond money to run their operating budget. Eventually, at some point, they get caught short.
I'm certain that the chairman of the subcommittee is going to come back with an innovative recommendation.
Mr. Chairman, let me give you one other example, and I'll take a pick on because the guy's a good friend of mine. I consider him a real competent employee. The director of Waters and Harbors is paid entirely out of capital improvement projects. And, you know, if you had enough Waters and Harbors, your salary maybe don't amount to that much. But what if you only had, to make a ridiculous example, what if you only had $70,000 in Water Harvard project? There wouldn't be left anything to build water in Harvard. It'd all go to his salary. And it's pretty hard, always been pretty hard to convince me that a director in the state should be depending on capital projects for his salary. It's not his fault, but actually ours for allowing it to happen.
Chairman, one of the things before we leave that item, I'm certain from past experience that the Transportation Subcommittee of the House will pursue that issue. But one thing that as the committee might wish to do is, part of the problem we had last year with dealing with the problem was the misconception by the press of the state that somehow the legislature was creating new positions. These positions are here. These people have worked for the state for years. It's a question of whether or not we wish to recognize their existence and account for them in the budget. You know, they're there, and they've been there for years. And somehow last year the press had a difficult time accepting the fact that these weren't new positions, I think. And perhaps a bit of spade work to that effect would help, because the way the situation runs now, it runs outside your sphere of control. You don't have any say in how many land surveyors the state employs, because they never come before you as a group of employees so that you can say, well, we ought, instead of having 25 land surveyors, we ought to have 10, or vice versa, whatever it is. You have no say in that. So if perhaps some groundwork were possible in that respect, I think that would probably take a lot of the pressure off the legislature. The governor, by law, has been required for 10 years to submit this information as part of the budget. It's historically just never been done. And we need to encourage the governor to present this information as part of the budget, as required by the Executive Budget Act, and then it would not be the burden of the legislature. If the governor came in with this as a portion of the budget request automatically, then it wouldn't appear that the legislature was adding 2,000 jobs to state government, 2,000 jobs that are already there, that the executive can, in fact, create on their own motion. They can create as many of these jobs as they wish in the current rules of the game. So that's a psychological problem, if you will, in the dealing with the CIP conversion question.
Just to emphasize that, that's one of the things that happened last year, is that the press started reporting and made an incredibly big issue that the legislature was adding 1,000 new employees or 500 new employees that weren't new. And that was one of the reasons that it was backed off. Because we just, no matter how hard we tried, they'd had that fixed in their minds, and the editorials had already been written, and they just wouldn't accept the fact that these people were already on and they weren't new. But we were just letting the sunlight shine on it. And, maybe a separate piece of legislation or something, so that you can really focus attention on that one issue, as opposed to being mixed up, you know, in a budget that's a little too complicated for some of the press members.
There isn't any press here now, so go ahead. Maybe we ought to see if there's anything else you want to bring our attention.
There's two other. Is that one? Sort of along the same line, but not quite. I just wanted to call the committee's attention to the fact that This would pertain to transportation budget as well as all budget. In a court suit handled, completed several years ago, the Kelly versus Hammond case, the legislature lost the right to delegate certain responsibilities to its budget and audit committee to supervise, among other things, the establishment of new positions. And I have one case in the transportation budget that is particularly interesting, and I wanted the committee to be aware of it because of the timing involved. The governor, in essence, has free ability to establish positions. On June 10th, 1980, a revised program was processed. This is June 10th for fiscal year 1981, the year we're currently in. Now, this is 20 days before that fiscal year begins, a matter of a handful of days after the legislature adjourns. And this revised program created 10 new positions. These 10 positions are some of the 10 that you have in that list of new positions. In other words, by virtue of this system, the governor was able to establish 10 positions. Actually, not the governor, it's Dick Brandt of Budget and Management and Jim Stay of Budget and Management were the last signatures on this list. So that when you come back now, or came back in January, you were faced with an accomplished fact that 10 positions had been added to state government. We are circulating information now to find out how many of the positions there are that were created by RP during the year and how many of them are filled. But since these were established on June 10th, 1980, the odds are that all of these are filled.
So they're positions that don't show up as new positions?
Yes, they do.
Oh, they show up as new positions?
Yes.
Oh,
well. But when it comes time to discuss the advisability of whether or not you ought to have those new positions, you'll be confronted with an additional barrier in that there will be people employed in these positions.
And the funding comes from that?
The funding comes from this particular case. They moved it from the contractor.
And there again, you don't need budget audit to approve that, right?
No. It's in the airport maintenance and operations BRU. Component to they transferred $154,000 from contractual services to personal services to fund 10 new positions.
Okay.
And the weakness in this point is that this can be done fully three quarters of a year before you actually, you know, get down to the heart of the discussion over whether or not to approve this or that position. Yes, sir.
Can anybody tell out of that how many of them are working now?
Mr. Chairman, in addition to what we have, in fact, requested that information. We have requested, in order to have any of them working now, there would have to be an RP process. So we are getting a listing of all those positions requested as new positions that are created by RP. And we're also asking from that list how many are filled. We will have this information within probably a week or 10 days. Mr. Chairman,
on all positions.
For the record, the little 2-5 positions part-time that stand out in the middle of the list are the 10 in question.
Yeah, I just wanted to emphasize that. I mean, the real problem with that whole thing is that I've never found it possible to fire somebody that's already in, but we did it maybe twice, you know, in the last 6 years. And no matter how you think you're going to reduce employees, when there's warm bodies in there, it's very tough. And you're presented, the committee is presented with the fait accompli. You come back here, he's requesting 10 new positions, but they're not new, and the fact that somebody's already in them. And so if you refuse, you're actually firing people. And so you just don't really have very many options. It's a real problem.
I don't have the same problem. Mr. Chairman, I was just going to ask Mr. Meekins if the subcommittee would come back with such a recommendation, would they have to go along with them?
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, in closing here, I'd just like to run through briefly the items of intent, the major items of intent from last year. Was a request for lane mile cost budgeting for highways in last year's budget, and the department has complied with that for a perhaps a more limited category of lane mile breakdowns than we might like, but their plan is to work more in and succeed in budgets. But they will present cost of maintaining, if you will, figures based on four kinds of per lane mile costs. Lanes without median ditches, lanes with median ditches, all other paved roads, and all gravel roads. So we will have the ability this year from the budget to begin to compare maintenance costs for certain definable types of roads from one part of the state to the other. And that that is part of this year's budget presentation. Last year in House Bill 60,
Mr. Chairman, just a word of explanation to the new members of the committee. That was the intent that I had moved based on some work that was done for me in Fairbanks, where they compared the cost per lane mile per year of maintenance on a number of different kinds of roads. And what I hope we would get ultimately from this is not only a comparison by region of what those costs are, but as miles are added to the road system, we would have an idea of how much to add in maintenance and operational costs annually. I'm glad they've supplied the attempt to have. I think four breakdowns is not enough. There's a big difference between a paved secondary and a paved primary road.
Mr. Chairman, also in House Bill 60 of last year, there was a substantial effort made by the legislature for airport improvements around in primarily rural Alaska. It was also $600,000 added to the general operating budget to kind of cover the operating costs of some of this. A lot of it had to do with the installation of things like radios and selection of medical equipment. This project seems to be proceeding perhaps not as well as one might have wished, but it is moving ahead in some places, but I think probably it's not at the stage of completion that people had hoped it would be at by this time last year. So that is one thing that I'm sure perhaps the committee as a whole might like to look at in the presentation and certain assessment. I don't, Mr. Chairman, I don't believe the level of completion is probably at the stage where it supports the whole use of the 600,000. On the other ones, there doesn't seem to be anything of particular general. So there was one, a request for avalanche warning and control in the central region, which has turned into quite an effort in conjunction with the Forest Service. That is an effort which we'll probably see more. In fact, I saw a bill introduced in the House to continue funding this system, but the one in the central region was for primarily the Seward Highway. I think perhaps that might be of interest to the committee as a whole. That is a new effort on the part of the Highway Department. Not a new effort, it's expanded and more extensive effort.
Jay, you didn't, just on the whole budget here, you'd mentioned it, I guess $36 million increase overall.
Yeah.
And you suggested that only a small part of that dealt with those, what did you say, 90?
At best, it's $3 million in the new position.
And that a significant part was additional fuel and other operating costs. Did you have that broken out and salary increases? Did you do that? Did you break out which areas where the increases?
No, I don't have the
it isn't that
salary increase. Salaries alone, on page 4, you can see the various increases. The salaries go from $73 million to
$86 million. So that's nice.
But the contractual services go up $8 million, and the commodities go up $4 million.
Where is fuel under that? Is that commodity?
That would be a commodity.
Better than that big deal. Contractual seems like
the biggest fuel area would only will primarily be in marine transportation. And we did have some budget increases built in last year at the last moment to hopefully allow for that. If this year is no different from any other, we might anticipate a supplemental in that area, which would then adjust this budget upward. So we really haven't heard the last of fuel cost increases. The normal pattern has been at the time when the fuel supplemental comes in, then also it's matched by a budget amendment to increase in the amount of fuel. So we could anticipate a little bit more.
Yeah, I was discussing with the governor the other day. They suggested that the supplementals throughout the all the categories are going to be quite a bit higher than they were.
Well, I was
going to
retire
biggest increase in this budget is $10.5 million for debt service. For example, in waters and harbors, has increased 140% over the last year, 63% in marine trans. And out of the 24% increase in the whole budget category, a third of that is debt service, and that's of course one of the most important.
Well, that's where it's a state bond committee?
Yeah, state bond committee, right.
That's $11 million.
That's
money.
So another couple of things to look at on Roman numeral 2. By the middle of the program, on the short form page 114 and 116, shows the highway design and construction and TIP indirect costs. The percentage increases listed here, for the one I guess is new, so that 100% doesn't...
See, those are new elements in the budget this year.
But between the two of them, that looks like $10 million, right? And an increase of $8 million from that. Am I right on that?
Yeah. The CIP indirect costs.
I'm using the program total.
2 to 8.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
It's an increase of $5 million.
Yeah. Well, and there's a couple of other small parts, and so I think it's about almost six million. That total through that. That is a new category there. Instead of shifting personnel over this year, they're shifting operating costs. Last year they got the people, this year they don't.
That's the same kind of CFP conversion?
But it's not people this year.
But it does show up as part of that $36 million.
Yes.
Right. So if you took that $5 million plus the $10 million in debt service, it's really a $25 million increase in terms of the quote unquote operating. Which makes
Chairman, it's not a big cost item, but one thing I would like the subcommittee to look at is the road conditions report. Interior and I guess close in other areas of the state, we call in and find out what the conditions are on the road. And that's particularly important, like if you find that you drive down to Haines, you want to know what the road's in before you leave. Even driving to Richardson or the Park Highway, Glen Highway, it's the same situation in all of them. And we found out this fall they've discontinued the road report except for the hours of 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. weekdays, which means over the weekend you can't find out your road conditions, which is the time most people are doing their driving, or there's a lot of driving. And I would like the subcommittee to look at whether we could perhaps at least get a recording on the subcontract a lot more than the
report. We can get a ski report and then they don't know what
you're doing. We did ask them, and they said that for 5 years position that they could handle it from here.
Do you have anything else on the transportation?
No, sir.
Any other questions on that? We've got about 20 minutes. Did you want to go for it?
I'd like to ask my question now. It's not relevant to transportation, but I'd like to, for the example of the committee, ask Mr. Holden if he has any kind of a report or anything on proposed audit.
Chairman, I think the Budget and Audit Committee intends to meet at 3 o'clock this afternoon, and I think they would be more than receptive to a request for an audit if we're forthcoming from a member.
I'll make that request.
You know, some time ago I was looking for an inventory of all our CIPs, well, from vehicles to road graders to whatnot in the different regions of the state. Is that updated, or do we have any copies of that I could look at?
Chairman, we don't have in our possession any equipment inventory. We can certainly get the latest that they have.
I know that the resource team just made a request of the Department of Fish and Game and Public Safety for an equipment inventory, investment inventory. So I'm sure this is going to be the
most. Well, what worries me is that a lot of times I hear there's an auction going on in some village, and you know, you can go buy a road grader if you want. Of course, you're responsible for transporting the staff to the state. I just wonder if, you know, if we have that kind of luxury where we, you know, we have auction sales every so often. Practically new thing, maybe we're only going to only have a stock budget. And the sell it for a very, very good price.
Anything else
you want
to
add? Yeah, I just had a sorry, copy of it. I just saw a memo that went out today from the resource committee. Yeah, did you get enough information on the
Yes, sir, we would get it from you.
Well, we've got about another 15 minutes. Do you think there's another program you would like to take in to get across?
Mr. Chairman, the information is in two categories this year. The House Bill 60 and related municipal grant items are in a nice, neat, identifiable package, and they were distributed to the membership today of both houses. That gives you the status as of January 31st of all the municipal grants, how much has been actually paid to the communities from those accounts.
You should have that on the
deck. He does. The problem with the others is mind-boggling. The governor vetoed wholesale sections of the General Appropriations Act last year that contained the statements for all the other grants, primarily nonprofit corporation grants, but not exclusively. There were some municipal grants worked in that language as well. The Budget and Audit Committee filed suit mid-year. The oral arguments for that case, by the way, are up next Tuesday here in Juneau, if anyone is interested. The upshot of it is that each item becomes a case-by-case study. They were all, virtually all, vetoed. Did they ever end up putting them on the books? In some cases they did, in some cases they didn't. Did they ever end up putting them on the books at the number that the legislature requested? In some cases they did, in some cases they didn't. Are they spending it? In some cases they are, in some cases they aren't. And they're scattered throughout the 875-page report from which this was excerpted. Those were all in a nice section where you could take it out and put it up. To get to the root of the question that the legislature has always had, where are we on any given status of project? Last year, the legislature appropriated $1,200,000 to DOT to begin to assemble a management information system. And they put the requirement on that the first thing DOT had to do with that money was to develop a project accounting system so that they could come in and answer the question that everybody always asks, where are we with regard to any project? We've been working with the department during the interim, and we have been expecting to receive a final product, one that we can begin to work with, for weeks now, and it still isn't here. We've seen some drafts, but for one reason or another, they're just not in the department's mind workable. the numbers of projects are so great now, and the status of them is continually changing as an expenditure basis, that without such a system, we can't come to grips with the problem at all. So I would encourage anyone who's interested in this to call DOT and continue to remind them of the urgency of it. It is a problem that's been with us forever. It's getting much, much worse because of the extreme numbers of projects. And we really don't have any tools to answer the question unless we go to the department, right now, unless we go to the department and ask for the status on a particular project, and then even they have to sometimes take several days to get back to you to answer the question. So they're in the dark just as much as we are.
Well, I think we'll go ahead and during the meeting. I put out a list of the subcommittees that there may be an amendment or two on some of them. And I think that we'll go ahead and just plan on for next week to try to get through the other categories of the budget similar to what we did today, and I suppose in the order that the subcommittees listed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you on it?
No, I'm not, but I'd like to.
I told him that I was late this morning. For an opening statement, I'll say that we're going to try to spend some time today with an overview of the natural resources budget, the subcommittee that's headed by Representative Meekins and also Representatives Carney and Haugen, and there's been a lot of other interest in being on the subcommittee. We may expand that by a couple of members, but we haven't done so yet. And along the same lines of what we had on Friday as far as the budget overview is concerned, I'll just turn it over to you, Bob, and run down the important areas that you think this committee should be made aware of initially, and you'll probably have some discussion with us once you get to that.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to begin by turning to the items that are actually in the category, particularly for the purpose of appointing new members, with what actually makes up the category. And I'd like to do that by looking at the short form right at the beginning on your index. First of all, you have Office of the Governor, Coastal Zone Management, and under that, Department of Commerce and Economic Development, Oil and Gas Conservation. Both these elements, or rather the Oil and Gas Conservation, has been transferred now to Commerce and Economic Development. It was in the budget, in this category, the budget last year, but just in the new department. Then the rest of the page, you'll notice there are no short form numbers, page numbers listed. And that is because this represents the old layout of the Department of Natural Resources, the way they last budgeted in FY80. To keep the book from falling apart as it did last year, I cut those pages out of the budget since we didn't really need to see what was in the FY81 column any longer. And we do show the actual data. The data is on our file, but it's just not in the short form. And that situation holds true all the way on the second page until you get to page 92. So all those elements won't appear in the short form. When you get to page 92, beginning with management administration, that actually begins the Department of Natural Resources budget. The layout, I think, is a better one than what they had in FY80. And you can see the programs listed there beginning with page 92 and running over to about the middle of the page. More on that later. Department of Fish and Game follows that. It has all the divisions of the department. Incidentally, the Department of Natural Resources is fully represented in the NERMIC category with the exception of the Division of Agriculture. In the case of Fish and Game, everything within the department is in this category.
Where is agriculture? I guess that's your question.
Where is agriculture? What category?
Development. On Roman numeral 4, we come to the end of Fish and Game with the habitat protection. We have a small piece of Department of Public Safety, and that is Fish and Wildlife Protection. The entire operation of Fish and Wildlife Protection is in the NERMIC category. The last major element is the Department of Environmental Conservation, and the entire department is represented in the NERMIC category. Here again, I chose to eliminate some pages to hold the size of the book down. And at the top of the page, you'll notice that the half of page 5 has data in the FY80 column and no page numbers in the short form page. So those sheets for those BRUs will not be in the short form. And very little is in the governor's presentation.
Now, I know that the Department of Natural Resources underwent a reorganization, but I wasn't aware of environmental conservation. Is that why they're like this too?
Right. The important thing here is that while they have reorganized, we're showing it this way just for tracking purposes of those fields.
Right.
But it won't affect the committee's work in any way since the reorganization took place last year. So, in other words, if you want to look and compare from this year to last year, you've got apples and apples to do it with.
What's the difference between pages 5 and 6 and pages 7 and 8?
That's just an extra page.
It's a different thing.
Yeah,
okay.
There are a couple of little birds up there.
On page 6, first on page 326, Science and Technology Executive Operations, that's by executive orders being transferred from DEC to admin. Would that move it out of the CRU and into kind of government?
If that happens, I suppose that it would. I haven't heard anything about that.
But the governor submitted it under DEC this year?
That's right. That's the way it appears on the governor's file. There are a number of things like this that the committee might want questions as we go along. This year we noticed a real increase in transfers of elements to categories that don't necessarily seem appropriate to us, so we'll probably bring these things up as we go. Looking at the overall picture of the budget, the category increase is about 30%, in fact a little more than 30%. DNR's share of that is probably higher than the other departments. If you pull out the rather large gas pipeline surveillance element, it's less, but just looking at it in terms of raw numbers, it's somewhere in the neighborhood of 40%. Fish and Game is over 20%. It has one element has been added there, the limited entry operation, and that tends to distort its increase somewhat. It tends to overstate its actual increase. Department of Public Safety, Fish and Wildlife Protection, relatively small increase, 11%. And Department of Environmental Conservation shows about a 15% increase, but there are a number of new programs which would, if allowed, increase it over 20%. The natural resources category has a larger increase than any other category except the development category, where you have a large number of grants. It also has, well, let me expand on that a little bit. It's important.
Let's know about page 8, page 9. We get too far past that page there. I'm looking at FY80, actual FY81 authorized, requested, and development deal there on full-time, part-time, temporary personnel. We've got almost double the number of new people. Then on page 10 and 11, Roman numerals, we begin to pick up a whole bunch of new people. Now, where are the difference of those going? Are those ghosts we're starting to bring out in the open, or are they actually on the payroll, or are we going to hire them?
No, Mr. Chairman, most of these are all new positions. I was going to touch on that, but I'll mention it now. There's a total of 304 new positions in this category. About 25% of all the new positions in the budget are in here. There are 177 full-time, 87 part-time, and 40 temporary. And most of those positions are brand new positions. A few of them might be CIP conversions, a few of them might be other things, but by and large, this
the Hammond administration priority area and this is where they're putting in the discretionary increase.
Mr. Chairman, I understood you to say 25% increase.
I'm saying that 25% of all of the new positions in the whole budget are in the natural resources category.
Well, now this right here, according to this, is the operating budget and natural resource management. We're jumping from 988 to 1864 for the governor's request on Roman numeral page 9. This is what I'm concerned about. I'd like to know.
That's not number of employees, though.
Well, it says positions, full-time, part-time, temporary, man-month. The man-month has increased all the way from 13,619.9 to 26,891.
Mr. Chairman, you're looking at a two-year difference here. You're comparing FY82 to FY80. What we have been talking about was the difference between 82 and 81. But what you're saying is correct. It's just, it should be pointed out, you're talking about a two-year spread, two-year increase.
You mean to tell me that right now we've got 23,804 man months that we're using in that budget right now?
That's what's on the governor's file. I wouldn't say I'm sure that's accurate, but that's what they're showing.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to have some more questions.
Well, let me make sure I understand that, because I didn't. But for instance, like FY80, you had, 988.9 full-time positions, and then FY81, we moved up. We put in almost 700 new positions in 1980.
Mr. Chairman, another way of saying the same thing is that you essentially doubled the total number of positions in the last 2 years. Most of the increase happened last year.
DNR got 700 new positions last year.
No. Just everything in the category. What you're looking at here is the
okay,
total
all
of
three
the entire category.
Go ahead.
Well, last year was a tremendous increase in this category, but in addition, there were some technical changes. Weren't there, for instance, I think we went from temporaries that weren't showing up to seasonals and the firefighters, and we had a bunch of considerations like that that went up 100 or 200 employees. It was just really people that had been on but weren't being shown in the budget, and they were shown because I think we took the firefighters and made them seasonal employees so they'd have to make that number or something. I can't remember exactly. It wasn't something like that.
Mr. Chairman, there were a variety of things like that. In addition, items that went in, say, HP60 for enhancements, whatever, that seemed on the surface to be capital appropriations, actually resulted in personnel being put. Also make the committee aware that there's going to be a B2 supplemental budget that will be coming in. We haven't discussed that as to how it will be handled by a special subcommittee or part of this subcommittee assignment or whatever, but it is, I understand, going to be in the neighborhood of $7 to $10 million. I don't know what it entails as far as new positions, but it will affect primarily those departments in the natural resources category, although it will extend into other areas, I understand.
This will probably be a one-time shot to ensure that we comply with the provisions of the legislature passed Congress, especially in these categories. I've been expecting that.
No, 7 to 10 million.
Yeah.
To begin, then, looking at some of the detail, the Department of Natural Resources, will take it first. Last year, for the first time, submitted to the Finance Committee so-called underground budget, which was nothing more than a different budget format that emphasized projects rather than going through the normal format that all other agencies submitted. I think, basically, it was favorably received by both committees, and that is the plan this year. The unfortunate part is that until about 15 minutes ago, I haven't had a chance. I haven't had a chance to look at it at all. They just brought it in today, so it is going to it it puts the committee in a bind to the extent that I haven't had a chance to look at any of it at all.
Let me understand this now. You say that the so-called underground budget, the way it was presented last year, it seems to want to claim that you just got that 15 minutes ago.
Right. Last year, Mr. Chairman, it came over at about the same time the other budget did. And I don't know. I don't know of any reason why it didn't come over like that this year. I called earlier about it, and they said it would be over around the 1st of February, and today is the first I've seen of it. The way this works, or has worked in the past, is that the folks at budget management are sort of ignoring it. They're not either condoning it or accepting it or whatever. They aren't even sure whether or not the department is actually doing it from one point in time to the next. And they're sort of regarding, I guess you could say, a legislative request or legislative priority, and therefore they're allowing the department to do this. I understand Fish and Game, while both these agencies, should be pointed out, are submitting a regular long-form version of the governor's format, but I understand Fish and Game as well has attempted to prioritize some of their projects and orient their presentation in a project manner.
What about when they bring in a supplemental appropriation request, as I am expecting the Department of Natural Resources and everybody else to be doing it? Is that going to be in any different form? Is it going to follow that the same sort of guideline or the same sort of format?
Mr. Chairman, I think it could. I don't see any reason why you couldn't relate it to projects. In other words, if one particular project wasn't completed because of cost overruns or whatever, then I think you could relate it to a specific project rather than really come in on a bill and ask for X number of dollars for the department.
Was last year the first time they came in with this new budget program?
That's right.
Therefore, the supplemental for the previous year wouldn't. This would be the first time we'd see one in that format.
That's correct, if they chose to do that.
I think it could be more compatible than the old one, seems to me, because when you get special appropriations like the DP thing, it is a lot of times because of a special project. In this case, it would be. It is a.
The concept is like a project budget. You can just say there's that money for that project, and they don't have to, you know, shift their own approval. But it seems to me that, you agree with that, could be compatible if it worked out.
Mr. Chairman, I don't see any reason why it couldn't be done that way. I think that any request for supplemental will have to be related to a specific project. Now, these projects are more than just merely listing out a number of projects. They're that, but in addition, their accounting is set up this way, theoretically, so that anything can be tracked at any point during the year. You can go over, clock up a particular project and see what the expense date on it and try to establish some sort of status on that specific project. So to that extent, I would think that a supplemental would be able to, track it by project. One of the, I think, positive things about the project presentation last year was that they could give the committee a ranking of their priorities, and unless the finance committee chose to establish a different priority, they could establish a ceiling level within the department list of priorities, and that I think works well. Looking at just the high points in the department, the first item I'd mentioned would be page 105, which is state gas pipeline surveillance, DRU. It's still in three pieces. That is, there's still a piece here, there's still a piece in the Department of Fish and Game, and there's still a piece in the Department of Environmental Conservation. The question that I think the committee will want to ask here is what is reasonable as far as this whole operation is concerned. The budget is presented with a startup date of 82 on construction. Certainly a certain amount of lead time is required, but I think
probably want to take a look at that.
I understand you just said that you're saying they're expecting the construction of the gas pipeline to begin in 1982.
Right.
That's the way this budget's planned.
Right. Now, there are a number of positions. For instance, there are 39 full-time positions associated just with components here. Keep in mind that we're talking about programming, not general fund. So, in other words, the wholesale elimination of all gas pipeline surveillance wouldn't bring the fund total down, but would bring the new position total down.
Are we going to have much to say about that, really? If where are these funds coming from exactly?
They're coming from the company, but you have everything to say about it. In other words,
what I mean is, if we don't have to sit here and guess when the pipeline's going to start. But, you know, although we should be able to plan for it, they're not going to be providing any money until the startup date comes around anyway. So as far as our function, we should try to figure out as close as we can when they're going to start construction. But go ahead.
Isn't it the case that if we guess wrong and say we want to put all these people on because for some reason we believe it's going to start in 2, they got to come up with the money. They don't have any choice. Just because they're not constructing, they'll be given that option.
Mr. Chairman, that would go back to the agreement and whatever's in the agreement.
I mean, it would be absurd to do it. But,
I think the point that I was trying to make as far as reasonableness is that if the legislation knows that this is unreasonable, that a startup of 82 is unreasonable, and you feel that it's unreasonable to put all these people on board at this time, then all you have to do is simply disallow them to work well.
On the other hand, the agreement with Northwest would have, I mean, Northwest, because they're the ones paying for this, going to keep an eye on it also, and would object to bringing the people on too early if, in fact, they're too late. I think we sort of got that secondary protection.
Yeah, with Bob, it seems to indicate that all we have to do is to authorize them, and then the pipeline company would have to pay. That doesn't make any sense. I'd guess it wasn't, but I guess we'll probably have a chance to hear from Northwest as to whether or not they think it's reasonable to expect the pipeline to get started on the 82.
Mr. Chairman, I feel sure that the department could answer that question. The next item that I mentioned is on page 131, fire protection suppression. Here we have a large indication of 70%, and it's all general fund money.
131.
And we're talking here about $1.3 million. They're adding also 5 new positions, and it's an item of large increase.
What's the extra $1 million contractual for?
Well, this is money that's actually paid out for firefighting. And what's happening here, you can't see it quite so well from the figures here, but if you had some more years in the past, you can see that we've had, for a number of years, BLM protection on much of the land in the interior and south central Alaska. As the state takes title to a lot of this land, the feds are expecting us to take over responsibility for fire protection on it. And there are a number of proposals on better ways to do that than what we're doing right now. And I think there's a general question of the state's adequacy in this area. But in any event, the request coming from the governor is, last year we had a large increase. It's a large increase this year, and I think we can look forward to more of the same.
What's pre-suppression mean?
Well, this is... There are two formulas that are used in calculating what your budgeted amount is for fire protection. And pre-suppression formula basically is just based on the historical cost of fire suppression in the state, and it's upfront money, you might say.
Yeah, pre-suppression is staging of material, readying crews for initial attack in the first 24 hours of the fire. Following, and if the fire goes beyond a 24-hour period, you bring in the suppression crew. And, Mr. Chairman, this is one area I think that even though we see a large increase, we're really behind in appropriating this right now, because the federal government is transferring large blocks of land to the state, and as soon as they transfer it, we've got to pick up fire control. And it seems to me we ought to be anticipating the large blocks of land that are going to be turned over, and particularly in the pre-suppression area, be ready for those fires. We've got the large blocks of land on the Seward Peninsula, which are coming under state control if they're not already under state control. And each acre that we add, BLM pulls out, and we are going to have to fill in quite a bit. Last year, because of the really big Delta fire, the last 2 years, we had emergency appropriations for fire support. And we're looking at a major investment over the next several years in equipment for firefighting and in training people. In fact, one of the reasons that the state has been slow in taking transfer of land in the last 20 years has been that we didn't want to have to pay for the fire suppression. What goes along with the territory?
Does this budget provide for purchase or rental of aircraft?
Mr. Chairman, I don't think that's addressed in this budget. There is a request in the capital budget.
For purchase?
I think it's for lease.
For lease rather than purchase?
Mm-hmm.
And in this budget, is operational costs been shown anywhere for that, or is that with the lease and capital provided for total? It wasn't able to be any reflection here in dollars.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not certain, but I believe it's totally shown
in the capital budget. Thank you.
Yeah, I think last year we had a question for not the pre-suppression, but whatever the emergency costs are called. And didn't we allow them to appropriate $350 million in the rainy day account and allow the governor, with the consent of the legislature, to dip into that for emergencies and fire suppression so that we don't have that problem that if we have another Delta fire, we can handle that, but what we think that we can't handle yet is what Senator Rogers was pointing out, pre-suppression costs, staging. But I think we have worked out a mechanism so that we don't have to keep appropriating large amounts of money. We do have a contingency fund of $350 million. We would only normally use 5 or 10 million for more.
If we ever use the federal crews, the way I got this pictured now is that some of the fires are on state land. We've got our own department either contracting or one way or another handling the fire, and then it's on federal property. I suppose BLM's got their own crews on there. That's what happened there. So if we run out of money or if we run out of people, we contract with BLM and perhaps vice versa.
Mr. Chairman, right now we are hiring a lot of BLM crews on a contract basis. We hire BLM to provide support for us, and they bring in their Boise crews primarily. And one of the reasons that I would
the
like
Boise
to see
crews?
Boise Fire Training Center. That's Boise, Idaho is where they base their experienced crews. And one of the reasons that I believe the state should be beefing up fire suppression is that means we can be hiring Alaska men and women to fight fires instead of Idaho.
Another item here is to what extent land disposal might have affected the material. Another issue that's talked about with these other the next item would be page 138. Oil and gas management lease sale admin. One thing I point out here is we have, again, the old a large increase. Full-time positions. These positions are related by and large to the prior to accounting. I also understand that this is a particular a high priority with the department. On page 146, mineral development, we have an increase of 430,000 requested for new positions involved, and as I understand it, this is related primarily to an increase in general mining activity. On page 151, youth conservation board budget,
which has been an item of legislative interest in the past, has been discontinued by the department. The, I spoke with the director of Vision Park, and his feeling was that it was more or less an administrative or departmental decision to discontinue it because of the problems they had running the program. He personally felt that most of the problems were ironed out of the thing, and if the legislature chose not to let the thing fall by the wayside, that he could gear it up again in relatively short order.
Do you have any real quick numbers on how many, I suppose if you're talking about younger people, how many people are actually employed because of this program consistency?
No, sir, I don't know offhand, but I could get some.
It doesn't seem like it was that, would be that many. Yeah.
Chairman, judging from the budget here, about 180 for 2 month period, looking at the FY81 authorized temporary hire at 187. Bob, is full federal funding available again this year for this program?
Again, Mr. Chairman, talking with the director of the division, he tells me that this particular program is not in jeopardy, and we'll have more their funds available.
Did you finish your question there? Did you find, well, I didn't hear the answer to it.
Yes, federal funding is available.
Still available?
Reagan's access.
Okay, go ahead.
And we're saying we've got 187 temporary spots for the young people.
I'm sorry?
We've got 187 temporary spots for the young people, that's shown?
That's what's shown as the authorized. Actually, how many people were involved, I'm not certain, but I can get an answer to that for you.
I don't want to see this fall by the wayside, Mr. Chairman, because it needs a lot of
yeah.
I think it should be beefed up, if anything, even if we have to give it state funding, maybe double it up, because we have a lot of problems out in the villages. I think we should have even more of these youth conservation poor people employed there in summer.
Where is it, Jim?
Was it federal money?
No, he said that somebody said it wasn't. That was here, I guess.
This is for the FYE2 fiscal year. They think that they'll have 100% funding. In other words, they won't be cut by the budget cuts now.
Well, this thing here shows that it's entirely federal received. Yeah. And why did they want to come down?
They just had some administrative problems supposedly with it. They had they were pretty late starting up last year. And they finally did get it rolling. Apparently, they ironed out most of the difficulties. But I think this would probably be a matter for them to take a look at.
It's a pretty serious problem. They wanted to cut out federal funds and gave 187 people jobs.
I don't like this at all. I don't like that money part of that state thing. I think we should make that a priority item to make sure it's back in the budget somewhere or the other. It's a serious situation out in some of the areas.
Chairman, the next item would be page 159, park maintenance and operation. Basically, I just wanted to call to your attention how some of the HB60 type transactions were handled last year. You see that under miscellaneous $360,200, that's been scattered, if you call on miscellaneous on the left-hand page 158, you'll see where these dollars have been transferred from last year into the base. An important thing to notice here is that these were for a variety of legislative add-ons. I'm not sure if they were all in HB50 or where they came from. But in any event, they're getting into the base this way. If, for instance, in order to accomplish whatever was set out in that $360,000 addition required the addition of new positions, then those new positions are already in the base. They're not shown as new positions. They're operating under the premise that when you added them, or when you gave them the money to do X project, you also authorized the creation of new positions to do it. Now,
can we get a detail on something like this, of what the $360,000 and $150 is, so we can find out whether, in fact, we authorized 7 permanent full-time positions were created,
that we didn't know we were creating, and they say, too late, you've already created them?
Mr. Chairman, this problem is not unique to this phase or to this category. It happened throughout the budget, and the Senate Finance Committee has already asked all commissioners to supply a listing of all legislative add-ons last year and to show what their status is as far as the project is concerned, how much has been spent on it to date, and how many new positions were created. Well, what they were primarily after is, of this project added by the legislature, what are you showing in this year's base? What is ongoing? Because I think many in the legislature felt like these were one-time shots, and in fact, they're really just rolling into bases all through the budget. You'll notice the causes of this type of thing, a great deal of difference in the FY81 figure and the FY81 adjusted figure. Okay, on page 167, gets us into the Department of Fish and Game.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Before we go on, Bob, you say the Senate Finance Committee is going to have a confirmation of those vendors' dues.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure that there is a due date, but some of them have already started coming in, and I assume that information is available to the committee. Then on 167, Fish and Game Department, looking at the Division of Commercial Fish Salmon, you're looking here at a 31% increase, and the total of 24 positions, of which two are full-time and the rest are part-time. Basically, the same thing that's happened the last several years has happened with the Fish and Game Department again. And that is that in most instances, the DRC did not reduce their request. You'll notice in the request column, as you compare the request column to the governor's column, by and large, they're just the same.
I don't understand how we're adding $230,000 in salary and benefits to these 24 part-time people, but the personal services component is increased by almost $2 million, of which $1.2 million is personal services adjustment. That's a 25% personal services adjustment over the last year. Where does that come from?
There's, Mr. Chairman, there's an underfunding of 27% in there. And also, as you mentioned, a considerable chunk of it relates to salary increase. But I suspect what should happen in cases like this where that underfunding is a large percentage of the thing should be reviewed in detail.
Why, if it was underfunded by 3 times last year, do you recall what the factors leading to the decision on underfunding was?
Mr. Chairman, basically, this happens occasionally with Fish and Game because they have very little vacancy. So generally, they're running right up against the limit. As I recall, there was no particular intent to establish a higher vacancy factor for this particular component, but I think it just worked out that way primarily because there's very little vacancy throughout the department.
Mr. Harvey?
I have to be honest. I didn't do it.
Mr. Chairman, it'd have to be shown here on this particular they don't mention that. They call it personal services adjustment on this particular BRU, and it is a large amount, and it has to be gone over pretty thoroughly.
Well, I got a couple questions. One is, this $1.1 million is in no way related to the data center. That's a different issue. Okay. And is this just that, I think what we did in pre-comps, if I remember correctly, we just set the same vacancy turnover to all departments. And what you're saying is that if that's the case, then it just hurt these people a little more because of...
Mr. Chairman, what I'm saying is that if... Generally what happens is that Fish and Game will have trouble with the vacancy factor on whatever the governor sets out. Many times they can't make it on that. If the legislature assesses more of a factor in general for all budgets, then usually almost invariably the fishing game department will have trouble because they have a lower vacancy factor.
Well, actually, the numbers don't make sense to do. Even if it was a 10% vacancy, it would only be $400,000 instead of $1.1 million. That's about 25% of their total. Keep 40% of their total.
Keep in mind that the salary increases in that year, and that's a large base, so that's a big number.
Are they coming in for supplemental?
Have you seen any indications of what supplementals are going to be coming all the way?
In total, or?
Yeah, or?
I really haven't. I've just heard rumors about certain ones, but I really haven't seen them.
We were told there's going to be a larger set of supplementals this year than that, so probably different than that.
Give me a few after that. The next element, page 171, commercial fish herring. Here again, you have a large increase, over 50%. Eleven temporary new positions and one full-time. I think all through the fish and game department would do to contrast or gives me an indication that the finance committee would probably want to take a closer look in as much as the DRC says or the Duke community request.
Yeah, I noticed on page 177 it took $95,000 from the legislative project and stuck it into the family component. So obviously they're just trying to grab money from wherever they can.
Mr. Chairman, this is exactly the type of thing that we're hoping to show up on the report, so at least you can see what they're doing with what was appropriated last year.
In fact, Mr. Chairman, on that one, they took the $95,000 we put in for some special legislative project, inflated it by $7,600, and then transferred it into what they wanted to do.
Yeah, good.
Mr. Chairman, the next item will be page 175, ground fish. This is but one small piece of the total ground fish picture. And I understand that Elmer's working up a package on it. Most of it is in the development category. He's putting together a package on it for the subcommittee. And I just point that out because it is a program I think the committee will want to look at. And there is one piece of it here in the natural resources category. Page 204. This is the administration and support administrative services element in the fish and game department. I just singled this one out because there are a large number of new positions requested and a large increase. This is particularly a large increase for an administrative component, so it sort of stands out in that regard.
Yeah, I had a couple questions on this one, though. Apparently they want to move out of the support building and move into the Talkie Twin Theater. Is that the idea? And who owns the support building? Do we just lease space over there now? Is that right?
In the support building?
Well, that's where they have these people right now, isn't it?
Most of those people are in the minor publishing building. And we do lease space there.
Well, what's this, the contract? I'm still on page 204.
Right.
Yeah, okay, under contractual. Let's see here, it says office space, Taku Twin, the Southeast Regional Office, 250, general office space, Taku Twin for all HQ, 400. Consolidation lease. I'm not.
What, Mr. Chairman, what they're doing is they're adding on the additional amount for the lease, for the new lease, for the new facility, and they're transferring it all to another line item.
Well, I don't know what that all means, but I want to know basically is that they're going to move out of the support building, or are they going to stay there and expand over to the Taku Twin Theaters? And is that what they're doing?
They're moving out of minor publishing. Mm-hmm. I assume that a number of people will be moving out of support as well. Mm-hmm. And they are moving into this budget. They're moving into the theater.
What kind of a lease would they have to enter into in a situation like that? Would it be a long-term lease, or would they be able to, my understanding is somebody's buying the theater, you know, getting rid of the movie house, and making it office space to attend the lease to the state. And I just wonder what sort of conditions they usually, would prefer, I'm sure, a long-term lease from the state. And when we allow them, in this case, what, $650,000 for 1 year, is that really all that we're encumbered for?
I'm not sure what the term of that lease is, but
I'd like to get some more information on that. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I'm sort of concerned about adding another $650,000 for office rent. Which, you know, I know that the subcourse is inadequate for the department, but I'm also sort of disturbed about their choice of building. I think it's unfair to a community of white, you know, for the state of Alaska to come in and, because we can afford to pay high rent, wipe out something used by the community, a business used by the community, it just doesn't make sense to me. And it disturbs me that we're forcing, the state's forcing rent so high in Juneau that a person can't afford to operate a theater on prime downtown space anymore. And that's a direct cause.
Well, another thing is, of course, the state's very reluctant to purchase and build new buildings, you know, for a lot of obvious reasons. Instead, I know that the experience we had with the assembly over here, they're paying this outrageous fee for the place, and the economics dictated we should have purchased the building, but the politics wouldn't allow us to purchase, so we're expanding the bureaucracy here in a more expensive way than is most economic. And there's better ways to do it if you have to do it. And,
I have another editorial comment on that, and I'll think it's anchored out with buildings too. But when we finish this one, we skipped over Fred operation. I might go back that one.
Would you have something on that?
Well, I just want to kind of reinforce what Brian is saying. I think that I'm not sure.
You know, it's obvious that the state ought not to go into the movie business, but I'm not sure they ought to drive somebody out of it either. And, I think that's real questionable activity. It seems to me mostly that's used by the children of the community, and mostly as movies are for the younger people. I think that's something.
Well, I got HBO here, so
Mr. Chairman, throughout the components, this year is the same as the last two. Just lease of space always comes up. I wonder if it's in a readily available form to provide a list of the space lease, the owner, the number of square feet, the rate. Would that be a big hardship?
I'd like to see that too.
So I, throughout this thing, we're going to all run into it. And so rather than ask the 10 or 15 or 20 times, if it was readily available, why couldn't we get a compiled brief? Yes, the whole state, absolutely. I think the area that I'd be interested in is, of course, the identification of the space, which is used by whatever component, the location, who the owners are, the number of square feet, the cost, I think at least 7 or 8 square. And if that could be readily,
we should have that anyway, because I know
I think
the
so.
State
I would
office complex questions for the directors. Yeah,
I'd request that if for all of us. They could be very, unless it creates a tremendous amount of work, if they have to put on some more permanent people for it.
Mr. Chairman, no problem. Okay, turning back to page 192, I guess. It begins on 192. We do have large increase in positions. There are 57 altogether in combination of part-time and full-time, only 3 full-time. By and large, this request is all related to staffing the hatchery.
What's going on in Ketchikan today? What's new down there that isn't 31 minutes for it? Nothing against kids here. I just wonder, there must have been, is there a new hatchery?
There's new areas of facility down there. This is an increase over 20%, and it's a large base. This is, I've been trying to key on the things that the governor's chosen to call non-formula increases. This will probably, in your definition, fall under formula increase. In other words, the things I've been talking about in the Fish and Game Department, there is no relationship like that. It's all new programs and just new people. It doesn't tie into any staffing of a building or anything like that.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Required so many people other than the privately owned hatchery. Somebody look into that for their question again for me? If this is what the state's doing is providing this.
Mr. Chairman, it might be in the long form, but I'll look at that and give it to you for a time.
They claim it part-time.
Mr. Chairman, I'd also like to find out about the three new hatchery positions in Fairbanks. Position number 10, 3 part-time, 2 culture, 1.
Mr.
Chairman, this budget, if you look in 2 years, it's expanded by 50%, and it seems like if you look at the year before that, it had been 50% also, and it's one of the biggest, fastest growing budgets, and I really wonder if we're getting $9 million a year worth of benefits.
Page 228, then, you come to the limited entry, or commercial fisheries entry commission. The budget increase is relatively large, and it's also been placed in the Department of Fish and Game now, because it's going to take place here. So nearly a 40% increase. We've got 4 full-time positions and 2 temporary. Basically, the new two new areas that they're expanding for relate to residency investigation and statewide licensing. Those are two basic program increases. On page 243, we have habitat protection, gas pipeline surveillance monitoring. This is the portion that falls within the Fish and Game. This is exactly the same setup that we had under Department of Natural Resources. You don't have as many new positions here. You only have 6, but you have in excess of $2 million being requested. I think the important thing here is that whatever you do in one place, you should do in all 3 places.
Go ahead.
Yeah, the next page after that, habitat protection, North Slope Hall Road. Why are they eliminating that when we have the road apparently being opened by court order in June?
Mr. Chairman, apparently it's not going to be budgeted as a separate item in and on the road now. It's been transferred to elsewhere, but you might want to follow up on it and actually see that it isn't merely being absorbed elsewhere. The program will actually stand. Or, in fact, you might wish not to appropriate it that way and keep it where you can see it.
Mr. Chairman, just for the benefit of the subcommittee chairman on this one, because of the action by the court, I think we ought to look at additional funding here. Page 245, Hall Road.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman? Although I thought that I heard you say that you don't have a system of
there's going to be a supplemental appropriation for FY81 and for FY82.
Okay, on page 251, we have Fish and Wildlife Protection Enforcement. This is the largest element within the Fish and Wildlife Protection budget. Last year, I think the House Finance Committee put into their version of the budget $400,000 basically to create 4 new positions, and they left it up to the commissioner as to where the positions would be located. The feeling was that the committee wanted to do something in the Fish and Wildlife Protection area, but they weren't going to stipulate where the positions would be located or whether there should be positions. That's the ceiling on how much they were willing to add. the best amount to provide a free conference, and they did create four new positions. My suggestion might be to take a look here and see what you got for your money. Actually, see if the four new positions are filled, and to see if there's any relationship between better law enforcement, say, in this area, and adding new people. Some sort of performance evaluation might be interesting.
Where did these people go?
I believe they went to Ketchikan, Juneau, Fairbanks, and Anchorage.
Learning place.
Learning place.